Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going deep on a really fascinating paper about obesogens.
Obesogens, yeah.
Exactly. You know, those environmental chemicals that are suspected of messing with our hormones and maybe even contributing to weight gain.
Right, right.
And this paper actually tries to come up with a whole new way of understanding obesity, kind of like a unified theory.
It's pretty ambitious. They're trying to pull together several existing models into a bigger picture. And the really interesting part is how they link this new model to the impact of obesogens on the whole obesity epidemic.
Okay, so before we get into the nitty-gritty of their theory, can we just step back for a second and talk about the obesity epidemic itself? It's a huge problem, obviously, but it seems like we're still kind of scratching our heads about what's causing it.
Yeah, it's a real puzzle.
Yeah.
You know, for a long time, the focus has been on the energy balance model, the whole calories in, calories out idea.
Right, right.
But there are some big problems with that.
Like what?
Well, like the fact that obesity rates have been climbing while calorie intake in a lot of places has actually gone down.
Yeah, that's a head scratcher for sure. How do you explain that with calories in, calories out?
Exactly. It just doesn't add up.
Yeah.
And then you've got studies showing that even animals living in controlled lab environments where their food is carefully measured are gaining weight.
So there's clearly more to the story than just how much we're eating.
Definitely. It seems like there are other factors at play, like maybe what we're eating is just as important as how much.
Right. It's not just about calories, but maybe also about the types of foods we're eating. Like 1,000 calories of broccoli is probably going to have a different effect on your body than 1,000 calories of donuts, right?
Exactly. And that's where some of these other models come in, like the carbohydrate insulin model, the CIM. It suggests that a diet heavy in refined carbs can trigger high insulin levels.
Uh-huh.
And that can actually promote fat storage.
So even if you're staying within your calorie limit, if you're loading up on refined carbs, you could still be setting yourself up for weight gain.
That's the idea. Now, this paper we're looking at brings in another model that most people haven't heard of, the reduction oxidation model, or redox.
Redox, okay. I'm intrigued. Tell me more.
So this model focuses on these things called reactive oxygen species, or ROS. They're like tiny messengers in your cells giving instructions about how to use energy.
Right. So they're kind of like little signals zipping around inside us.
Exactly. And they're vital for all sorts of processes. But when there's an imbalance, too much or too little ROS, it can really throw your metabolism out of whack.
Interesting. So where do obesogens fit into all of this?
That's where things get really interesting. This paper proposes that obesogens can actually disrupt those ROS signals.
Hold on. So we've got the energy balance model, the carbohydrate insulin model, and now the redox model. And this paper is saying that obesogens can mess with the ROS model, which then affects our weight. It's like they're trying to create some kind of grand unified theory of obesity.
That's a great way to put it. They're calling it the OBS redox model. It's like those other models are puzzle pieces, and the OBS redox model is the bigger picture they fit into.
Okay. I'm starting to see the connections, but how do obesogens actually disrupt those ROS signals? Can you give us an example?
Sure. Let's take BPA, which is found in some plastics. Studies suggest BPA can mimic estrogen in the body, and estrogen plays a role in regulating energy balance, in part by influencing ROS signaling in fat cells.
Gotcha.
So when BPA comes into the picture, it can mess with that balance, potentially leading to more fat storage.
Wow, that's both fascinating and a little scary. So these everyday chemicals are potentially interfering with our bodies without us even knowing it.
It's a possibility.
Yeah.
And what's even more concerning is this paper emphasizes that exposure to obesogens early in life, even in the womb, can have lasting effects, making people more prone to obesity later on.
That's really unsettling. So it's not just about what we're exposed to as adults, but also about those early years.
Exactly. It raises some serious questions about the long-term impact of these chemicals on our health.
Okay, so we've got these different models of obesity, and we're starting to see how obesogens might fit into the puzzle. But what are some specific examples of these obesogens? What should our listeners be on the lookout for?
Oh, you encounter them every day, unfortunately. Think about those plastic containers you use to store food, certain pesticides used on produce, and even some additives in processed foods.
So it's not just about eating healthy, but also about being aware of what's in our food and the products we use every day.
Absolutely. This research really drives home the point that it's not just about individual choices, but also about understanding how these environmental factors can affect our health.
This is turning into a real deep dive. We're uncovering all sorts of hidden connections between our environment and our health. Before we go any further, I think we need to take a step back and really consider what this means for our listeners. How can we make this information actionable? what can people actually do to protect themselves? Let's talk about that after a quick break. Okay, so we've been talking about obesogens, those tricky chemicals that could be messing with our hormones and our weight.
Right, they're kind of lurking everywhere.
And it can feel a little overwhelming, like, where do you even start?
Yeah.
But I think the good news is that just knowing about them is a big first step.
Absolutely. Once you start paying attention, you'll be surprised how many products contain these things. But don't worry, there are definitely things you can do to reduce your exposure.
Okay, so let's talk strategy. What are some practical steps our listeners can take?
Well, a simple one is to start reading labels more carefully. Look for things that say BPA-free, phthalate-free, and paraben-free. Those are some of the big ones.
So like ditching the plastic water bottle for a glass one is probably a good move.
Definitely. And when it comes to food, choosing fresh, whole foods over processed stuff is always a smart choice.
Makes sense. Processed foods have all those ingredients you can't even pronounce. Who knows what's in there?
Exactly. Plus, they tend to be higher in sugar and unhealthy fats, which can contribute to weight gain on their own, even without the obesogens.
You know, this whole conversation is making me realize I'm not as careful about filtering my drinking water as I should be. I just figured tap water was fine.
It's a common assumption. But tap water can have all sorts of stuff in it, including potential obesogens. A good water filter can make a big difference.
Okay, water filter check. What about those plastic containers I use for leftovers? Are those a problem?
They can be, especially if you're heating food in plastic. The heat can make those chemicals leach into your food. Switching to glass or stainless steel is a good idea.
It's amazing how these little everyday choices can really add up.
They do. And it might seem like a lot at first, but every little bit helps.
This is totally changing how I think about grocery shopping. I'm going to have to start paying more attention to the pesticides used on produce, too.
Good point. Opting for organic produce when you can is a good way to reduce your exposure to those pesticides.
And speaking of pesticides, I'm going to be more careful about the ones I use in my own garden.
Absolutely. There are lots of natural, less toxic pest control options out there. It's worth doing a little research.
You know, learning all this has been a little unsettling, but honestly, it's also kind of empowering. I feel like I have more control now that I understand the risks.
I agree. Knowledge is power. And the more you know about these things, the better choices you can make.
This paper also mentioned that the effects of obesogens can be different depending on your genes, your age, even your sex.
Right. It gets pretty complex.
Yeah.
And it raises an important question. How can we personalize our approach to this? A one-size-fits-all solution might not be the best.
So what can our listeners do while we wait for more research on that?
Being proactive is key. Talk to your doctor, maybe consult a registered dietitian, and stay informed about the latest research. The more you know, the better you can tailor your choices to your own needs.
And let's not forget about pushing for stronger regulations on these chemicals. We need to work together to create a safer environment for everyone.
I couldn't agree more. It's not just about individual actions. It's about systemic change.
We've covered a lot of great tips today. Any final thoughts for our listeners before we wrap things up?
One thing that really stuck with me from this paper was how much they emphasized early life exposures. The idea that what we're exposed to during childhood, even in the womb, can have effects that last a lifetime.
You mean how those early years are so important for development and how disrupting that with obesogens could have really long-term consequences?
Exactly. And I think this is where we need to broaden the conversation. It's not just about protecting ourselves, it's about protecting future generations.
So how do we do that? How do we make a difference for the next generation?
Well, for parents and caregivers, it's about being really careful about the products and foods they're giving their kids. But it goes beyond that. We need to advocate for policies that put children's health first and limit their exposure to these harmful chemicals.
This is such a great example of how this research goes beyond just personal health. It's about recognizing that our health and the health of our planet are all connected. That's a pretty profound thought to leave our listeners with.
It really is. It makes you think about the bigger picture.
Yeah, it really makes you stop and think. You know, we often think of obesity as this personal struggle.
Right, like it's all about individual choices.
But this paper shows just how much our environment can influence those choices.
Exactly. It's not just about willpower. There are all these external factors at play.
Well, this deep dive has really given me a new perspective on things. It's amazing how much we've learned from just one paper.
It's true.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about science. There's always something new to discover.
And we couldn't do it without you, our listeners. Thanks for joining us on this journey into the world of obesogens.
We hope you found it insightful and maybe even a little inspiring.
Yeah, knowledge is power, right? Even small changes can make a big difference.
Absolutely. So keep learning, keep asking questions.
And most importantly, keep taking care of yourselves. That's it for this deep dive. We'll see you next time.
Bye, everyone.